nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Program that started yesterday evening. Thank you because you love us so much, and we can never be tired of getting from you. And that's the privilege and the opportunity we have, that when we have the opportunity to dine at your table, we are always excited, we are always strengthened, we are encouraged. And maybe this is the last meeting of this retreat for the year. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you for the organizer, the money spent, this logistic, people on ground and everything. Lord, we didn't take this lightly. It's through you, by you, on you, in you, and only you. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. As we share together from your word, we pray you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. This afternoon, I will be sharing on the force of vision. The force of vision. The force that drives vision, the force of vision. And I like us to open our Bible to Luke chapter 4 verse 17. Somebody, you can help me to read Luke chapter 4 verse 17. Luke chapter 4. Okay. The book of Isaiah was given unto him, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He has sent me to clear courts, preach the gospel to the poor, to the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Thank you. No, there's a statement I'm still looking for. And he closed the book. Thank you. He closed the book. Vision. Several definitions have been given to vision. But vision is that mental picture that God drop in your spirit, and it relates with your assignments. Mental picture of your future as it relates with your assignment on this part of the living, on this part of the land of the living. Vision is not a function of whether you are blind, you are open-eyed, you are lame, you are... Vision is a spirit given to you by the Lord, driven by the Lord for God's children, that helps you to have a picture of what assignment God asks you to fulfill in this life. And many people had vision, but not all the people in this world accomplished their vision and their goal. Some people sway in the road of vision. In fact, God can give you a vision and it never materialized. Sorry, I know you won't like to hear that. God can give a man vision, but that vision will not stand. Because in the accomplishment of a vision, of God's vision for your life, you need to partner God. You can't take God out of it, and God cannot take you out of it. Sorry. So some of us will look at the scripture and look at Judges 13 to Judges 16 and wonder, or Judges 13 to 13 and wonder, while a man crafted, designed, brought by God, one man as one man army, and God said he will deliver the Philistine from the hand of the grip of, I mean, the children of Israel from the hand of the Philistine, and he couldn't do that. You keep wondering why will God stand in his lap and design a man, and still that man, designed by God to take the children of Israel from the hand of the Philistine, designed by God, empowered by God, still didn't fulfill it. It means that in God's program and agenda and God's assignment, God needs you. God's assignment for your life, he needs you. You need God and God needs you. It's a partnership. It's a partnership. Partnership thing. So when we talk about the force that drives vision, we are talking about those things that push you into fulfilling God's purpose, God's mandate, God's desire for your life. This morning, I was thinking very early this morning and thinking within me, if in the courtship Mary and Joseph had had sexual affiliation, that project of God would have been hanged, or I mean, taken away from them. If they had messed up, they were getting married, they were exposed to each other, but heaven was looking for somebody from the line of David, and heaven insisted it must be Mary. Why? Because Mary positioned herself. There are quite a lot of virgins from the tribe of David. There are quite a lot of women from the tribe of David. And I tell you, there are more virgins those days because of the cultural understanding of marriage. But do you know, if you go to Luke chapter 2 and you combine it with to Genesis and Matthew chapter 1 and you compare the two, you will discover that both Mary and Joseph were from the tribe of David. Mary was from Solomon. Joseph was from Solomon, while Mary was from Nathan. Both are children of David. There was one Nathan that corrected David when David fell. That's not the Nathan. David actually named one of his children, Nathan. So, when you look at that record, some people studying the scripture have asked severally, why are the names, suddenly the name changed from David? So in Luke is different from that of Matthew. And then the one in Matthew traced it and got to Joseph and put to Joseph, why the one of Luke traced it to Nathan? Solomon and Nathan were actually descendants of David. But you see, God, what God just wanted to do was that if in case, because the choice of man is strong and the choice of man influences his destiny. You cannot, you see, your choice determines your future joy. You cannot choose God first. He has to make platform for their destiny such that if by choice, God will not make a man robot. A man turn his back and said, see, I'm not going to marry that. I know it's the purpose of God. I know it's the will of God. I saw the angels. I saw all the confirmation. But excuse me, I am not going to marry her. So Jesus will still have been from the descendant of David. So what I'm trying to establish first in this force of vision is that you need God as much as God needs you to get to destiny. And it's not that God created his children and gave some good destiny and some bad destiny. When you look at the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, you will discover that man actually has a place in the working out of his destiny. Look at Jonah. Jonah was asked to come and correct, to prophesy, to correct the people. And the people repented and he was angry. The people repented and turned to the Lord. Even animals fasted. Pregnant children fasted. Everybody fasted. Everything that has life fasted. And he was angry that his prophecy. You know, there are ministers of the gospel in our generation. When they put a prophecy in the news and they want to watch it, even when it's negative, they want to watch it come to pass. So the force of vision, number one, what is important in your drive towards your vision, towards your goal, towards your destiny, is that you need the partnership of God. And God needs your partnership. It was on prophecy that somebody will betray Jesus. That was the prophecy that was on ground. He didn't say Judas will betray Jesus. It was not specific. And the Bible says his bishop will be taken away by another man. So it was not specific. But somebody was not ready to be careful enough. He started by stealing. From stealing to liking money. From liking money. You see, when we talk about vision, we talk about something serious to our, even our eternity, serious to our celestial dream and goal, serious to our terrestrial goal. When we talk about destiny, we talk about the path to which you tread, that when people come after you and look at the pages and the volume of things that were written about you, they give glory to God. So you see, Jesus Christ came to the temple and sought to read what was written about him. Clear statements. You must have a vision statement. I'm not talking about that one we put in our organization. That's okay. But you must have a vision statement. The one that was written of Jesus. Jesus said, I came in the volume of that which was written of me. Now, was spread out. He read it. And all he needed again is to close it up. He just wanted them to know, this is the purpose of my birth. So when he was taken in chapter 4 of Matthew, to the rock, mountain, and was tempted by the devil, he knew these are not the pathway to what God has assigned me to do. Jesus was focused. So when you lose partnership, number one is that you must partner with God, and God partnering with you. Why we gave our life to Christ is that we need God in our lives. Otherwise, our vision will be ambition. It will be our own personal goals. What we'll be pursuing are things that are ephemeral, that are short-lived, that things that are not, that are very, very temporal. Things that are short-lived, things that are very, very ephemeral, they will be our pursuit. Things that cannot test the yardstick of eternity. So what we say in this afternoon is that, number one, you need a partnership of God. Number two, if you want to go in the force and direction of God-given vision, number two things you need to understand is that you need to be sacrificial. Now, you see, discipline is crucial. Discipline is crucial. You get an opportunity that is not opportunity for you, that is actually harmful. But it looks very, very exciting. Look very, very, this is an opportunity, you know, but it can be very dangerous. If you are going the path of vision, such opportunities will come. In Genesis chapter 37 to 39, we're looking at the story of Joseph. Joseph had the opportunity to have sex with that woman. And you know, this was a boy who had dream and had vision of tomorrow great. He doesn't know how God will do it. But all he knew that this, my vision, my tomorrow, he saw it severally. There was a time he came to his father and said, Daddy, you know what I saw? I saw the 11 stars and the moon and the sun. And as at that time, he has lost his mother. And then, bowing for me. And the father quickly understood and knew that this dimension is dangerous. It's not conventional. It's not. The father shut him down, but he knew within him, I carry the seed of greatness. You see, when you carry, there's some things you carry, you don't waste it. So, the man knew that there's something in him that the devil is after. When you carry a destiny of color, when you carry a destiny of greatness, the devil will be after you. Have you seen a madman on the street when he picks 3 days old akara on the floor and he starts eating and he's still healthy? Why? Because the devil has finished with him. Sorry, I know you. This one will contradict medical science, but that's the truth. He eats it and it's not stolen. But if a man that is normal, that has great tomorrow, sees a 3-day-old that can pick it and eat it, he may not survive. They will tell you, you need to, you know, the infection has come, all of these things, they will put it together and give you a grammar. But you know, when you carry something unusual, the devil is after you, the devil is targeting you. So the kind of temptation you even come across are not going to be conventional temptation. They're higher. So the woman just said, excuse me, you are the chief of all people around us. You know, when we go into this partnership, is nobody go to know about it. My husband is always a traveler, he's a minister in the Federal Republic of Egypt. He won't know about it. Let's just sign this contract and let's keep going. That will have shortened his destiny. So he needs God and God needs him. And then he said to that woman, and I'm just wondering how many times Joseph will call, Joseph, can you come on? And Joseph will open the bedroom of this woman, and Joseph will be looking up to answer her. Because he knew there's somewhere I'm going. Listen to me. When you fall into certain kinds of sin, the precious ingredient of your destiny begin to depreciate. I know of forgiveness as a therapy to correct things. But excuse me, it is better it's not happening than it's happening and you are correcting. It's a general principle in life. Scars are always scars. They will still form part of the body, but that does not make it less than a scar. So for Joseph to look at that woman and be talking to her, yes ma'am. And even when the woman said, look at me, and Joseph is looking at it, he's already closing his eyes inside. You can imagine that. And it's not just 3 months, not just 6 months. For 1-2 years thereabouts, and Joseph was in the house. The Bible says he casted his eyes upon him. Her eyes upon him. That woman was not a harlot. I said it severally. She wasn't a harlot. She was even one of the most advanced women in Egypt. According to the writing of Josephus, Josephus said that her name was Zeluka, and she's one of the prominent women of Egypt. She called a conference of prominent women and asked Joseph to serve them food. When they saw Joseph, they were reacting with her. Say, why did you keep this precious experiment of beauty in your house and lock him, and we didn't know? So because an ancient poet equally wrote about that and said Joseph was a rare specimen of beauty. You know, so many literal work that was done on the beauty of Joseph. It was the beauty that infected her. She wasn't a harlot. So if an harlot casts an eye on somebody, it may not be as desperate as somebody who is not a harlot. I worked in Burkina Faso for a few weeks on harlot work. I knew a harlot could be. But Joseph had a vision. You know, he had no Bible. There were no preachers. There was no pastor. There were no follow-up coordinator. There were no discipler. There were no brethren to pray with. There were nobody to share it with. But he had a vision. And what was his vision? There's something great about me. And the woman, the Bible says, after series of this, and one day the woman said, it is do or die. I either have you or that you get out of this place. In fact, Quran, when I read that chapter, 17th chapter of the Quran on Joseph, I was shocked at the lies and the exaggeration. Quran said he asked there was a conference of beautiful women that Joseph came into their midst by the invitation of Potiphar's wife. And then they were asked to cut okra. And when they were cutting the okra, they were cutting their fingers because Joseph's beauty was charming. That's what Quran said. Well, if you tell me, I don't know. So, but to be honest with you, it was not an easy experience. And you know, even we that have the Bible, we have a follow-up pastor, so many men of God around me to shoot me if I turn back, you know, with all of these things. And then you see men of God still coming down. And you know, when things like that happens, you are traveling the journey of destiny. Can you come, sir? Can you come? We are traveling together. God forbid, maybe something happened when I just fall, and their movement, they are still going. And then their own kind of fall as believers is to go back to the cross and start afresh. Not that you just stand up and start going. You come back to the cross, the space of time they have gained. Where grace could come in, even when grace come in, grace won't push you ahead. Thank you. You know, when you have tomorrow, when you have future, when God has given you a vision, a dream,
Then God has set you forth. Please stay with God. And then that will not make your temptation less. And he has said it in his word that he will not tempt us beyond our capacity. So when somebody said, I didn't know what was happening to me. The wind just carried me. I didn't know what happened. I tell you, the Bible didn't say so. The Bible says you will not be exposed to greater temptation than your capacity carries. All we are asking that God will keep us in the name of Jesus. Where I was coming from, somebody came to my room, one man from Sudan. He came to attend the training and he told me, sir, you see, a girl came in the night to knock my room. I said, why should leave in your room, they knock? So I said, and what are you going to do? You shut the door, lock your window, and then put the keys in your pocket. So, praise the Lord. So number two, or his sacrifice. Their sacrifice. So when that guy got to the prison, he was in the prison for a thing he didn't do. And he didn't threaten God, you know I am a righteous person. And they say I did this and I didn't do it. And then now I'm going to backslide. Ha! He didn't threaten God. He was in the prison, and when they found out in the prison, the favor of God was still upon his life. He was in the prison. Can a righteous person be thus persecuted to be in the prison for 13 years and still be happy? And he saw those guys, the way they were frowning, he said, you guys, hey guys, what's happening? Look at your countenance. And then they said, you don't understand. He said, I understand. I want to buy shares into what is happening to you. Can I know about it? And the guy said, you are too happy to be here. You know, and then the man insisted that he wants to know, and they told the dreams, and then he interpreted their dreams for them. And you know the rest of the story. So there are sacrifices to make. Sometimes some of those sacrifices will come in juicy form. It may not be in sexual temptation, it may be in financial temptations. And then somebody will just tell you, you know. I was just sharing with my brother. I came with. I said, I met a white guy. He said that, can you get a scholarship to study global leadership in the U.S. for 1 year, then everything paid for? And I said, no. You know why? That's not in the road of my destiny. It's not. So I am too formed with my family to abandon them for 1 year. And I told him, I said, excuse me, I had masters in Christian leadership already. He said, no, you see from this, he was telling me the advantages. I said, I can recommend somebody. If there are people that when they hear US, all the vision God gave to them about Nigeria is dumb, it's buried. Their head will not be correct. It could be even if monetary something, and then they said, well, we have to compromise this. Then all you just need to do is just to do this, and then you lost it all. And then you will be angry, but God gave me this vision. This is what God told me about this thing. You know, several things come upon my mind recently. You know, we're talking about this whole camp, and we have a land in SLD area where we had 36 plus to build a camp like this 2009. But as I traveled and God encountered me, I feel like spiritual human capital development more than block and Dangote cement development. I am not thinking of having a build camp and putting my picture there and then putting flag of nations. You see, I want the nation I'm thinking about to be residing in the inside of me. So there are things that will come, juicy, look attractive, that will come around you, and then they will come around, and if you are not careful to ask, if this was it. You know, something happened to Samson. Samson was going, and he encountered a lady, you know, and God was saying, I see that this is what happened actually. Heaven was saying that, what is happening with this guy? This is the same tribe we said he should deliver his people from, but he's not delivering them. But let's see, he wants to marry from them. But God decided to help to sign him. It was when God saw that this guy is not a guy to follow, God logged out. But we need to understand this thing I am doing, this road I am treading, Is it in line with the purpose of God? Is God affiliated in it? So it could be precious opportunities. Precious, you look at it, and everybody say, are you crazy? Don't you understand this is an opportunity? Don't you understand this is an opportunity? Opportunity to do what? Opportunity to do this? Opportunity to do this? And you lost the entire vision. Everybody in the scripture, including Paul, who had vision of what God has told them about, they stood this time of suffering. They stood it. There are moments of suffering in every vision. And when you cut short the moment of your suffering, you cut short the moment. See, I am not praying that you spend extra days in Egypt. That's not my prayer. But you see, the children of Israel were to live in Canaan, but they had to go through Egypt. And there are shorter routes to Canaan. God didn't say they should go through it. They went through the longer route. The problem, that was not the problem. The problem with them was that they didn't, some of them didn't fear the Lord, so they died there. But they had the potential to get to Canaan. But that was their route. Why will God take a longer route? Sometimes when a journey of destiny, in the journey of future, in the journey of vision, it's as if God is too long. God is taking too much time. God is taking too much time. Some of the people that joined occultism as preachers, they feel that God is taking too much time. He's taking too long. When did this guy started? This guy started some years, few years after me, some years after me. See his own congregation. So they mix some things together. They compromise and their destiny still. There are things we do that can completely delete the vision of God in our lives. Can wipe it out. So number three, after sacrifice, is focus. Focus. If you get to get the vision of God for your life, you must be focused. You must write it down and pursue it. Habakkuk 2:2 said, write the vision, make it plain, so that they may run with it, that is it. So you need to be focused. See, when a man, if all of us, we are looking at this direction, all of us will see different things. No one will see the same thing. If you look at this direction now, all of us look at this direction, what you will be seeing will not be the same thing with what your brother is seeing. But as you gaze on it, you see it better. Vanny Crosby was a blind woman, but she has a vision and she was so focused. Her calling is music, to use music to spread the gospel. She will be singing, she will be invited to sing in conferences, and people will be giving their life to Christ. She produced 9,000 hymns, a blind woman. 9,000. So vision is not actually a function of the physical side. I have a sister. You should know the sister in Akure here who is blind. Yeah, we used to go to one of the leaders of NCCF those days. We used to go to her house. She still she play keyboard. She keep poultry. She does poultry keeping. Blind, and now she married a blind husband. I've been to them a few occasions after the marriage. She keep poultry. She select the egg. She's blind, complete blindness, not partial. Are there no people God gave vision to, but they threw it away because they felt? So when that woman even married a blind man. Vanny Crosby married a blind man, but they got to destiny. 9,000 hymns. Most of the hymns you are singing today, some of them, there was a day she was singing, miracles were just happening, and miracles were happening, and noise all around the place. There were noise of miracles. She couldn't see it in the physical, but she sensed it in spirit, and she started singing. She wanted the healing for herself, but it was withdrawn from her. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on Lord as thou art calling. Do not. That song came by inspiration of what she had happening among the congregation she was ministering to. See, there is something the Lord dropped in your spirit. It mustn't die. It mustn't die. We won't allow it to die. You know why? Because that thing is the original thing. And you can't afford to trade it. There are some people where they are supposed to stay positioning. It's not where they are staying. They just feel that, well, If this is the part, it's not easy. It's not. We were 25 people preaching together when we were in the iron station. 25 of us. We will get a coastal bus from this or Poli, wherever we are moving. We used to preach together all over the southwest and south. We're traveling together. I will not count three of us who are still preaching today. 25 of us. 25 of us. And some of these wonderful sisters, you think they are flowing spirit, they just married and that's all. And then you keep wondering, would this sister just, this vibrant sister, you know, we met some of them at some fora, you just discover that, no. Some of those sisters could pray completely for 7 hours. But if you ask, they won't be able to do that now. Some of them are not even preaching again. Brothers, fantastic brother. He works in the bank, and look at what God is using him to do. He works in the bank, God is using him to do. We have some of them went into the banking industry and they lost their vision in the banking industry. They just sat because the computer and they didn't see nothing beyond the computer. And that's all. We have so many of them. Sometimes, you know, this Facebook can even make somebody, can hear somebody. You know, when I see some of them in the view, I go to their, I view their profile, I discover that they have lost their voice in the crowd. Vision! See, we are young now. What is God telling us about our future? Oh, God is telling you about, and every vision must carry the seed of the gospel in it. Any vision God is giving to you that does not have something to do with the kingdom of God is not actually from God. God's plan and program is invested in his kingdom, and that's superior to God. The greatest thing, the greatest asset of the New Testament believer is the gospel. The gospel is the greatest asset of the New Testament believer. God had the vision of coming to this world to save. He was so focused on it to save humanity. And look at the entire Old Testament. We have studied Leviticus in our family recently. We got to Leviticus. We took about 2 months to study Leviticus. Come on. You just be looking at it. The more you look, the less you physically see. But if you tap into the spirit, what those rituals and rites and ceremony, some look like it, but they are different. All God was telling us in the Old Testament is that look at the root. Me, I am taken to take delivery of man. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they were disinherited from the garden of God. And see the road God took. God took such a long road. And then go to David. And it's as if that's the generation that want to produce the Messiah, but he didn't. Some other generation came. And look at Matthew chapter 1, when the generation finally showed. God was focused on his agenda to take the seed of the woman to liberate to destroy the power of sin. On the cross, he took God to be focused. And look at Jesus himself. Jesus left his glory, co-equal with the Father, co-equal with the Holy Ghost, removed the cloth of his glory, hung it somewhere in heaven, came to the earth in the form of man, took upon himself a humble disposition. Because, see, they didn't burn me in the manger. They burned Jesus in the manger. That's the hospital of animal. I'm sure if they burn me in the manger, and it's a place of birds. If Jesus is filling the form of his data, about data, I will put manger. Place of birds, manger. Nazareth, Abby. We put place of a manger. But does that have anything to... Where you are born, background, does it have anything to talk about your future? No. He owns the whole world, yet he entered into the vagina of a woman to be born. Came through... You can imagine our God... But he didn't take... He was focused on the cross. You know, when he was on the cross, Matthew chapter 27, when he was on the cross, some very... heavy-brained scholars of the Bible and scribes came and said, if you know that you want us to be your follower and disciple, come down from the cross. Focus. You think it was the 90s slave that held him there? No. It was the focus to conquer the power of sin. Focus. So if we are going somewhere, you need to be focused. You need to be focused. Focus. Focus. Brother, we need to be focused. There are things that are getting there. They are going to knock us off road if we are not focused. There are seductions from the pit of hell that will look very attractive. Knock off from the road if you are not focused. Focus. Focus. There are distractions. I was telling Brother David this afternoon that we're talking about a brother. You know, I know he will go to Facebook and talk, and the thing will be indicting me and abusing me. Or of course, people will not know, but you know. But I told you, I said, sorry, I'm too focused to be distracted. Focus. Where are we going? We can't get there easily. We don't expect to get there in this world easily. We need to fight battles to get there. You know the beauty of it. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting for victory. So, if we are fighting for victory, there is possibility that we lose it. But when we are fighting from victory, because the Roman soldier is not equipped from the back. There's no equipment, war, military equipment on the back of the Roman soldier. Why? He's not expected to turn his back towards the battle. He's not expected to turn his back towards the battle. He's expected to fight to finish. Fight to finish. Fight to finish. Brother, we need to fight to finish. So, when you have a destiny, you can't lift up your legs to one monkey somewhere. When you want to have a destiny, you can't lift up your fingers on people that God didn't send you to. Excuse me, are there not, we just had the GO, the brethren in his, it's one of the most trusted men of God I ever met in my life, in my own calculation. I was, you know, one day we went together. This man, his message is about heaven, holiness. So there was no way, even when the Holy Ghost would be telling you some things, you can't even put it together. And then they lifted up, called to me and said, you are one of his friends. This is what he's done. Serial pedophile. We count about 10 people in about 10 years, small girls. Syria. And I said, no, if I confront him, he will deny. And I have evidences. I did the primary source of my data. I did the secondary source of my data. I went to the PFN and can we table the matter before them. They set up a panel. They investigate the matter. Got some people to testify. It was true. He has been doing it for more than 10 years. And he has been preacher. Come on. I got afraid of ministry. And yet he didn't want to leave his ministerial office. So they have to invade his church to announce his discipline by force. But well, he's a GO, you know. He owned the church. So, but I just felt that. Why will, you know, the beauty of our Christian faith is for the fact that we have the Bible. And some of these girls, when he had this encounter with them, he will give them the Bible to swear. So you can never hear it from outside. Share the Bible. It was even in investigating him, I got to know of another case. He will have immorality with. There was a particular married woman he had immorality with, and that one just came for counseling in his office, had immorality with him, and gave him 7 books of Moses to swear with. Otherwise, and that woman had to swear with 7 books of Moses. So my friend was telling me that he told the husband, I have a confession to make. Thank God he's a child of God. Have a confession to me. He could not tell the husband. The other had to bring in to my friend, and then he was making the confession and slum and died in the parlor of my friend. And that's why I said, you can't die here. No. That one has to pray until she came back to life, because she wanted to make a confession. And he preaches in the gospel. You know, you just look at this, every kind of evil in our generation. Evil friends, there are sometimes in the journey of your destiny, of your future, of your vision, you need to cut off some people. You cut them off. It will be painful, but you need to get going. You know, in natives, we used to sing a song in Yoruba.
Woma ba won di eta ye kegorin woma tele lai wo enikeni.
There are people that are selected few. You don't have to make friends with everybody. There are people that are selected few. They may not be popular. You may not be seeing their poster everywhere. Their posters everywhere, ministry. They may not have all the crowd, but excuse me, they are correct. Focus. Focus. The journey of number what now? Faith. Another thing in the journey, see, God will be telling you of mighty, mighty assignment for you. And when you tell somebody else, he will look at your friends. Yeah? Why do you? There are so, it's not all vision you share with people. Is that okay? You know what he did? Joseph will share with his brother. Brother said, you? Even Reuben was not taken like that. Because the size of somebody's vision is irrespective of his biological, chronological order. No. Firstborn, lastborn. No. Their vision, you can't share with everybody. Their vision, you can only confide in people about it. This is what the Lord is telling me to do. This is what God has put in me. This is what God asked me to do. Because the vision of God in your life is a function of faith. You can see, God can be talking to somebody here and say, a time is coming, you'll be bringing in campus students to preach to, and then they're going to be in thousands. And here, God is talking to you in the midst of few people. Are we up to 100 here? I doubt. And God will be telling you that a time is coming, God will be helping you to lead 1,000 students, 2,000 students, and you'll be looking at it and say, No. If you tell somebody beside you, maybe you don't even have the capacity, the financial status. No, it's a journey of faith. The journey of vision is a journey of faith. You can imagine, God spoke to Abraham that he's going to, his children will be like the sand of the seashore. He has not even had anyone. I said, okay, my children will be like the sand of the seashore. Just give me one verse now. And for 19 years or so, or 14 years or 19 years, that was the statement of God repeatedly. God's statement repeatedly. But you see, it's a journey. Today now, there are millions of Jews around the world. Are they not in millions now? If not for challenges, they will have been more than that. How? There should be close to 5 million Jews globally. So as children, not many now. So even by faith, we are his children. How many? 2 billion Christians in the world. 2 billion Christians in the world, about 800 million evangelical. Are we not spiritual children of? So if you add it with the Jew, are we not spiritual children of Abraham? So what God was telling him that time, he won't share with Lot. Not to say, me, I marry after you, I don't want plenty to kill. You are still saying, God talk to you, God talk to you. Even when the wife pushed him to the other woman, it's a journey of faith. What God is talking to you is a question of faith. How far? See, it takes a man that has the eye of faith to see what God is talking to you about. In the business God wanted you to do, it's a journey of faith. In the ministry God is asking you to do, it's a journey of faith. Don't, you know what, one thing I have discovered is that when you listen to God, you don't need to listen to men. Because sometimes when you listen to men, you won't hear God. And I'm just praying that somebody will repair a spiritual antenna in this meeting and will say, no, I want to continue to hear God. Because in God is the fullness of all you need to perform in life. You know, faith is not just about you. Knowing what God wants to do for you is about you getting there in your understanding. You are already there in your understanding. All you are doing is to walk towards it. All you do to walk to your understanding. And you know what? Faith that makes you to travel in the journey is that God is telling somebody that you're going to begin to set up an hospital that will be. Somebody invited us to his hospital in Akure. You know, they are both doctors, husband and wife. And you know what they did? They said, anybody who is a minister of the gospel, the treatment is just like 5%. They work, but their vision. And I asked them, if minister here of your hospital, everybody will go by a role here. You know, and then, you know, I was just asking, said that's the vision God gave to them. You see, that's why I say your vision must carry God along, must carry his kingdom along. There must be an assignment in the kingdom that is fulfilling. Your vision, the vision of God for your life cannot be about your family or your alone. It's a purpose. You know, I'm just wondering, you have become, I don't think there is any. And this is 3 years. He has told me about 3 years. I just wonder what was happening during the time of Paes Gyatin. Paes Gyatin will drive his old Peugeot car from Ilesha and go to Idauza school. Idauza will have traveled abroad and preach everywhere. He will meet some few people. He kept pouring on them. He will drive. You know that time, the speed of cars are not like this. Yes, 150, 180, 190. Maybe it will take him a day to drive. An old man drive, pass through or get to Benin, go back. And then he will meet the people like Omobude, Ayorisha Jafo, Okonko. They are the students he was preaching to that time. They were the one in the Bible school first said. But he kept pouring on them. And then today, even when they don't mention his name, when we get to the kingdom of God, when we get to eternity, who pour you? So many of the things that we look, we celebrate are not equally the way God sees it. God sees it in the other way. And then today now, many of them don't tell you they have a encounter with him. Many of them don't say it. You just think they came from heaven and they are made in heaven. But it was to him, it was a journey of faith. Because like the daughter said, he will be doing this travel every week. The fuel, the cost. And all over the world, all over Nigeria, people will be traveling to Elisha, direction to Elisha, direction to Elisha. Just the way, you know, you do in your house now. That's why people travel. You see, you may not have a huge crowd. But I tell you, the mystery of our reward is only understood by God in heaven. Because you may be sure that things we celebrated here are not celebrated there. And things we don't celebrate here are actually celebrated there. And it's going to be paradoxical. Very, very much. You, the journey of our, the journey of pathway to destiny beyond the faith is the journey of consistency. You must be consistent. The pace at which you are going, you see this pace? The pace at which you are going 4 years ago, you see the same pace you are going now? Or you want to jump process? Don't jump process. Jump process. Don't eat half-baked material. Half-baked material will run your stomach. If we jump process, we may land in fire. There are processes that we must. One brother, we worked together some years back now. He used to think I like suffering. That's what he used to think. He would think I like suffering. Because we have money and then we have personal needs. But the money is for ministry. We just pour it for ministry. There was a time we did medical outreach for 3 weeks in the riverine. Every day. So what the doctors help us to do is to be sending. We have marked the days their nurses. Those who are lending us under them to come, we spend hundreds of thousands of money. Me, I've gathered those money, and then by the time we finish it, he was thinking that we are punishing ourselves. That was the way he saw it. And I said, no, the kingdom first. See, in your vision and aspiration, the kingdom of God will be first. Then don't jump process. Don't. If people ask me that money has come into your hand, I'll say yes. Have you used it for God's purpose? I'll say yes. Because it's the kingdom of God that has the priority in our lives. The kingdom of God first. If the kingdom of God is not first in your life, in your vision, any family that the kingdom of God is not taking the driver's seat in their program, in their agenda, in their vision, in their aspiration, sorry. If they put the kingdom of God in their boot and close it up, that is misplaced priority. The kingdom of God is supposed to take the driver's seat. This thing we are going to do, where will the gain be? What percentage of the gain will go into the kingdom? This business we are going into. So how do we do how do we select the gains? Then how will the profit from it? How will it benefit the kingdom? I met a business guy. I mean, he's representing an organization. He said when they give loans out, but they will ask you. The profit, how will you write in your proposal, you will specify how the profit you get, what percentage will go into kingdom work, not to them, any kingdom work around. That's the way they assess their proposal. So when you write your business plan, it must be inside. They are gathering money from Christians in America, and they are funding projects around the world. They give you 1 year moratorium, then you start paying back. But then the profit you get, what percentage will go into the kingdom world? This is not about 10% we are talking here, friends. It's not tithe we are talking here. We are talking something astronomical, something you can't imagine. So if the kingdom of God is not taking place in my home, in my family, well, how did we place the kingdom? What priority do we give to the kingdom? So sometimes we just feel that no. It may not be the way it pleases us. We have to shift ground for the kingdom to take its place. We have to shift ground and say, no, it's the kingdom of God. You can imagine if all of us here, we have the kingdom as our priority, then God will be happy with us. Before we round up this session of the meeting, I want to ask you, what vision do you have? And how are you driving your vision as a family, as an individual, towards fulfilling the kingdom of God? And I want to ask you again, if Jesus has to assess you as an individual, what percentage of your life is given to the kingdom? I tell you, I am not a 10% Christian to God. All my life is dedicated to Jesus. Simple. If you see me get land, the purpose of that land is not for my children, it's for the purpose of what I want to do for the kingdom of God. I have signed it. And I just look at them and say, children, we have to look up to God. We have to look up to God. Because if even from your marriage, you start spelling out. Because if you marry a person who is not kingdom conscious, who does not think of the kingdom, he's just thinking of how you go to enjoy all the money you are missing it already. So from marriage, from your step in life, what is the other person talking? I want to marry to a person, as a young person, who will think more of the kingdom than me. Are you thinking that way? You know, and that's why today, because there are conditions I gave to my fiance, my fiance, those days, and I told him that, see, I am first of all lost to God's kingdom. I am lost to God's kingdom. He cannot place a demand on my house, and I say I'm praying about it. Praying about what? The house I built, God said he wants it, and I will say, I want to go and pray to who? To the person who demand for it? Do you have a thing you cannot prioritize to God? You know, there are things you do that God just opens things to you in an unquestionable way, and people will ask, how did you do it? You cannot explain. Because when it becomes so supernatural, it will be difficult to explain. When the blessing is supernatural, it's difficult to explain. When the open doors are supernatural, it's difficult to explain. How do you explain it? How do you quantify it? God said, I need this from you. I need this from you. I need this from you. And God cannot say. So if God has never placed a demand upon you for a certain area, you know, I believe in God saying somebody don't marry. I believe in it. I believe in it. A sacrifice. But then, what percentage of the kingdom of God is represented in your vision? And the force of vision, you need to understand that it is not you that own tomorrow, it is actually God. Rise up on your feet and ask the Lord, Lord, prepare me, prepare my future, advance my cause. I want to live for you and you alone. I have nothing of my own. Everything about me is God. God, 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 God. God is about you. It's about you. Can you open your mouth and preach to the Lord tonight? I mean, this afternoon, and say, Lord, it's about you. I don't want to have it. I don't want to have a vision where God is not represented. I don't want to have a vision that is not focused on the kingdom of God. A vision without faith. A vision that God is not inside. The God is not partnering with. I don't want to have it. I don't want to have that vision, that kind of vision. I don't need that kind of vision. And oh, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. A person that will stand the test of time must be a person of the kingdom. What we do in this part of the world, is about ourselves. Politicians leave money on himself and his children. But we are talking about God's kingdom as priority. God's kingdom as priority. Let him take all. Let him take all. Let him give us the little he wants to give us. We are okay. You take the all. Just give me Jesus. You take the whole world. Just give me Jesus. You take the whole world. Just give me Jesus.
I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Can you open?
For more life transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Nation on your heart.